everyone. It's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Saving starts with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John Cobell podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
We're on from 1 until 4. And after 4 o'clock, you could hear it all over again on the iHeart app. John Cobell Show on Demand, the podcast version. Let's plunge right into this story because this is fascinating. Todd Bensman, he is the reporter, writer, investigator, provides a lot of material for the Center for Immigration Studies. And he writes for many publications. We saw this one in the Washington Examiner. Bensman has a report on hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens flown directly to airports in America, 90% of them to either Florida or Texas. And out of that total, most of them to Florida. Ron DeSantis had to deal with 325,000 illegal migrants coming in last year. 325,000. And you wonder why he and Abbott were busing people and flying people all over the country. They were getting overwhelmed by the Biden administration. So let's talk to Todd Bensman to see what this is about. Todd, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me. Yeah, the story... this piece is kind of the latest installment. We've been writing about this since about September of last year. These parole programs where the administration grants permission for people who were going to cross the border to instead be escorted in over the land bridges, the land ports, where it looks like it's legal, and or they fly them in, these two programs. Directly, or they authorize travel for them to make their own arrangements to fly in. And it's the second program that seems to have gotten more attention than the other land bridge program. But that's because Elon Musk and Donald Trump both talked all about it when we reported one. Anyway, the government will not tell us the names of the airports that they're flying from or to. And so we tried to figure it out on our own using available public data. It's not perfect, but it did point to several very important elements about this program, one of which is that the vast majority of them appear to be flying into Florida, three out of 386,000 plus in the last year or so that have flown into the country under this program. Remember, they were going to cross the border illegally. 326,000 of them appear to have landed first in Florida, Now, they may have continued to other states after that. We just don't know.
Do you know what cities they landed in? Was it the major cities or some of the smaller airports?
I mean, it's undoubtedly the major cities, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Tampa. You know, it's going to be international airports because the way we check this is by looking at available public data by customs officer encounters in the airports. You know, when you fly in, you have to go through customs, and each one of those gets logged. But you can look at it by nationality, and if you know the nationalities that are being brought in, Haitians, Cubans, Venezuelans, and Nicaraguans primarily, it's pretty easy to check the interior airports.
Can I just stop you a second?
Yeah.
Because I want to briefly go to the beginning of this journey for these people, because they're coming from their native countries. So they're getting on a jet plane from a major airport, let's say in Venezuela. How do they know to do this? How are they getting in the information? I mean, do we have a travel agency that's booking these flights for the locals to come in and a free flight to America?
Well, the program was announced in January of 2023. And, of course, that kind of a thing went worldwide. Everybody knows about it. Non-governmental organizations made sure that everybody knew about this, this incredible opportunity. We've never done anything like this, really.
What are we doing this for? I mean, it's one thing if they've walked 1,000 miles, you know, at least they put in some effort, but we have a plane waiting for them on the tarmac now. They just have to pack up their bags from their house and boom.
Well, we're doing it because according to the government's own documents that they announced this is that, you know, the border was just too clogged up. It was overwhelming everybody. So they figure, well, let's just bring them in legally and declog the border.
Are you serious?
That's what this is. Yes, that's what they say. You know, we can better manage our border if we just bring them in legally. So that's what they did. They
right.
brought in over 800,000 immigrants this way.
800,000 they flew in?
No, they flew in about 400,000.
Uh-huh.
And the other 400,000 plus, it's actually way more than that now, walked in, were escorted in at the land ports, 8 land ports, just brought right in. And they schedule these crossings on a mobile phone app
called
CBP1. So, and they're coming in under, it's supposed to be these temporary 2-year paroles, but you can renew these easily online for like whatever, $10. And for, you know, you could just stay in the country for years doing these renewals.
Really? And like $10 and you get endless renewals to stay in the country.
Yes.
Here.
Yep. That's right.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is way worse than anybody knew.
Well, yeah, because most people just think about illegal crossings at the border, and that's all we pay attention to, because that's all we've ever paid attention
everybody
to.
Everybody desperate people paying the drug cartels their life savings, going into indentured servitude, and that the drug cartels are manipulating the flow at the border. But here you're telling us that the U.S. government, us, the taxpayers, are paying for a free flight, and then they basically get unlimited time to remain in the United States.
Well, I'll correct you on one thing, is that, you know, as far as I know, we are not paying for the flights. We are granting permission for them to fly into the U.S. On their own dime or however they get it.
We're charging them?
No, we're not charging them. We just approve their flights and their entries. And so they pay their own ticket. But the point here is, and I think you're in L.A., so I think my numbers show that about 8,500 have flown directly into L.A. and another 4,500 flew into San Francisco. And I didn't count San Diego. I think a lot are flying into San Diego, but I didn't count that because I can't differentiate between the ones that are being brought over the land bridge there.
So let's say it's 8,000 that landed at LAX. Where do they go? Is somebody waiting for them from the government to give them a ride?
There's probably NGOs that are waiting for them to help them resettle somewhere or get to the next destination.
And NGOs are non-government organizations. These are non-profit organizations that get tax money, right? Federal tax money.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Jeez.
So, and then, you know, they end up in different, you know, they end up in different shelters or cities that are helping to integrate them and struggling to pay to integrate them. A lot of them, if they're flying to LA or San Francisco, are probably going there because there's free stuff that they're giving out. And, you know, maybe they've got relatives there that might put them up, or a sponsor or something like that.
There's a lot of free stuff here. You can get free health care and a free lawyer. Can you hang on the line? I got to take a break for Deborah's news, and we'll be back in a few minutes with more from Todd Benzman, who is the investigative reporter at the border. He's in Juarez, Mexico right now, telling us about the Biden administration flying hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens directly from their home country, from airports. And Florida is getting about 90%, 80% of them. And Texas is getting a lot, and many of them are ending up here in California as well. More to come.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
We continue with Todd Benzman. He's the investigative reporter. He writes for a lot of news outlets, and he's also with the Center for Immigration Studies. And his latest is almost 400,000 people over the last year and a half have been flown into the country by the Joe Biden administration. And about 80% of them were dumped in Florida, another big chunk in Texas. And we have the planes that fly them to U.S. airports and let them out. Let's continue with Todd here. I have to wonder, the politics of this, because Greg Abbott and Ron DeSantis took a lot of heat in the media for sending out so many migrants by bus and plane elsewhere. But were they set up? I mean, it can't be a coincidence. I know they're basically border states, both of them. But this has got to be a bit of a political setup to make them look bad by flooding them with too many immigrants by plane and to force them in a bad spot so they have to clear out some to other states.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I leave that speculation to others as to, you know, why they're, you know, how it is that they come to go to a particular airports. But I think it is more likely that those are southern airports that are easier, shorter flights from Latin American departure airports to get to. You know, Florida, you can fly there easily from Haiti or, you know, anyone, you know, Caracas or, you know, all of the Latin American cities. You know, have flights there. Same with Texas, you know, Houston Intercontinental, you know, George Bush Intercontinental Airport there. And it's one of the busiest in, you know, for Latin America flights. I think I suspect LA is on that route. And so is San Diego. I'm going to guess a lot are flying to San Diego. We weren't able to include San Diego in our analysis because of the way the data was set up.
But this is kind of a stupid question, but do they do any checks on the people that they're flying into the country?
Minimal. You know, the administration brags about that all of these people are fully vetted, that they've run them all through checks, they've done everything. But what they're talking about is running databases on past criminality in the U.S. Mm. Did they hit on any U.S. databases? And, you know, most of them have never been to the U.S. So why would they would anything flag on the U.S. so they get a clearer?
Isn't that like, clever? We're checking for U.S. crimes. They've never been here.
Right. And, you know, you can't really check for crimes in any of their home countries because most of them are from Venezuela, Cuba, Nicaragua, which hates us. Venezuela and Nicaragua are not helping us out with an intel share. Sorry. Cuba is not helping us out with an intel share. Neither is Haiti, because Haiti, I don't even think they have working computers there.
Who acts as the travel agent for this? Who lets the aliens know that, hey, there's a plane 8:30 tonight leaving Caracas, and you know, have your bags packed and here, fill out these forms? Like, who's doing the middleman work here?
I believe that all is happening in the NGO community. I think that those NGOs are, you know, throughout the Americas, are doing all they can to get as many people as possible into that program, into that shoot. Probably helping them. And by the way, to clear up something, just because they're from Haiti, Cuba, Venezuela, Nicaragua, and some of these other places does not mean they are flying from there. We know that there are 6 or 7 million Venezuelans living in 17 different countries in Latin America. And Haitians are living in Chile and Brazil and 20 other countries. They're all over everywhere. So they can fly. These nationalities can fly from any airport that has direct flights into the U.S.
Has anyone ever done this before, any other administration?
Nope, this is the first time ever.
Wow.
We've never had anything, especially at this scale. There have been some smaller scale family reunification type programs where we're trying to get families together, but on a very small scale.
What has struck me about this is that as time goes on, you realize how purposeful the Biden administration has been in engineering this migration. At first, everyone was saying, well, he reversed all the Trump directives, you know, out of political anger, right? And then it was, look, this administration is a bunch of incompetent boobs. They can't run the border. And it's really none of that. This is that they believe in, and they're engineering this massive transfer.
Right. And I mean, if you are somebody who appreciates mass migration and feels like, you know, we are a nation of immigrants and this is our values and that sort of thing, this thing is like brilliant Nobel Peace Prize kind of stuff. I mean, it was just brilliantly carried out at every level, administratively, using the bureaucracy and policy and law to get as many people as possible into the country in as short a period of time that they possibly could. And this is definitely not incompetence. It is not the result of something out of their control. It is very, very well executed, very well planned. And the people that were doing this and still are experts at it.
Todd, thank you for coming on with us. Always fascinating stuff. Excellent reporting.
Thank you very much. And look for my piece from Juarez in the Daily Mail tomorrow.
All right. I
have a big package on the cartels down here.
Okay. Look forward to it. All right. Yeah. He's in Juarez, Mexico. Todd Benzman, the journalist who's been at the border for quite some time now, writes for a lot of publications and also is affiliated with the Center for Immigration Studies. And you heard hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens willfully being flown into this country by the Biden administration. And a lot of them, about 80% of them, dumped into Florida. More coming up.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity. And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on the radio from 1 until 4, and after 4 o'clock, John Cobalt Show on demand. It's the podcast version. It's the same as the radio show. Just goes quicker. And if you want to be on the Moist line, it's 877-MOIST-86, 877-MOIST-86. Get to it, right? Friday, the whole world could hear what you're thinking about, how smart you are, your deep thoughts. 877-MOIST-86. I don't know how California legislators think of this stuff. Their intrusiveness, the nanny state, never, it just never ends. Can you imagine they're looking at a law that would regulate whether your bosses could contact you at home or on the weekends? Like, let's say you work from 9 to 5, employers would be prohibited from sending you emails or texts or making phone calls outside those work hours. Why does the government have to be in control of this? This is from every one of them from San Francisco. Every stinking one of them. Matt Haney, an assemblyman. The bill is AB 2751. It's the right for employees to disconnect from emails, texts, and calls after work hours. Why can't you just not answer the phone if you don't want to talk?
Well, but then if you don't answer the phone, what happens if your boss keeps calling and calling and calling and calling?
They keep getting no answer. I think people could regulate this on their own. I don't understand why the government is necessary to regulate this. Because if somebody is really irritating, you could always get another job.
Right.
I mean, if you're going to regulate this, why you could regulate anything that a boss does that irritates the employee. And actually, most of the time I find it's the employees who are the problem. It's the employees who are like lazy and stupid and don't want to do their jobs properly. I wouldn't want to be a supervisor. I was a program director once for 6 months.
Oh God, you were?
8 months. Yeah. I hated it because
I can't even imagine that.
It was a bunch of disc jockeys, you know, and it was in Atlantic City, and they were all idiots. Well, not all of them, but a lot of them. And you spend all your time trying to Well, for me, for that job, trying to schedule disc jockeys to show up, you know, on Saturday and Sunday mornings. You could spend hours and hours, and nobody wanted to work, and everybody was always calling in, claiming in advance that they're going to be sick or that something was going to happen. And it wasn't me, it was them. You know, when I was just a regular disc jockey, they told me when to show up. I showed up. I did the radio show.
Well, I know. These days, people are so lazy and so entitled.
Yeah, I know. And so why isn't there a law that requires employees to show up, execute their job competently, and not complain and bitch? How about that law?
It seems ever since the pandemic, the things have just changed. I don't understand it. I really don't. And you know what? The people that don't want to answer their phone, right? Well, then if I was the boss, when it comes time to promotions or raises, I'd remember that. Now, obviously, if you're being called, if you're being harassed, you know that. But like you said, then get another job.
Well, yeah. No, I mean there are plenty of crazy bosses. And you hear it there. You hear a lot in the entertainment industry, and it's really abusive. And they're throwing things and calling you names, and there's physical and sexual harassment. All that. And every time, I always hear these stories, and I say, "Why did you show up for day two?" Really, I read about a guy, some famous producer, and he was always throwing like coffee cups and staplers at people. It's like, how many coffee cups do you need thrown at your head before you say, I'm getting another job with somebody who's sane?
You know what?
It's not that hard.
When I was in college, I had this part-time job. I'll never forget this. It was at a law firm, and I was filing. And this lawyer was outrageously rude. And I mean, nasty to everybody. And I don't know. I don't remember the exact details, but I was supposed to, I think it was Christmas time. So I was supposed to stamp and put the Christmas cards in the envelopes, whatever. But they were so nasty. And this woman, she was a lawyer, was so nasty. I literally just threw the cards down and I walked out. I left. I said, I don't need this. This is a stupid part-time job that's going to have nothing to do with my career. I'm not going to be treated this way. And I walked out.
That's all you got to do. And if she gets enough of those, she's going to stop. I worked for a crazy lady who she lived in the same building that we worked in. I worked briefly for a public relations agency. Do I look like public relations material?
No, not at all.
I actually helped put on a fashion show once.
What?
Yeah. No, it's a lot of secrets you don't know. Wow. But anyway, this crazy lady would get coked up all night. Ugh. And so she was on cocaine, flying high. By the time she got in, she hadn't slept all night. She was all ragged, yelling at everybody, barking at orders. And she wanted me to work late. I just told her no. It's like, I'm not going to be slave to some like coked up maniac. You know, the office was like on the 60th floor and she lived on the 30th floor or something like that. And so that was her whole life, going up and down the elevator. And she was rabid, maniacal, and cocaine is what fueled her. She got rid of me before I could quit.
She did? Oh
yeah. No.
Oh, you didn't get the last word.
No, no.
Oh, I hate that.
No, because I told her no. I'm not working. I'm not working in the evening for no pay. And I didn't care. I didn't like the job anyway.
Well, there you go.
I'm not Mr. Public Relations.
I think we all can agree on that.
Anyway, this wiener, Matt Haney, said people have to be able to spend time with their families without being constantly interrupted at the dinner table or their kids' birthday parties. You know, I went to dozens and dozens of birthday parties. I don't remember people being interrupted and always being on the phone for work. Occasionally, once in a great while.
I think a lot of people that own their own businesses, their own companies, I think those people, but it's their own. They're the boss. They're dealing with a lot of things. It's not a 9-to-5 job.
Yeah. I mean, one guy says, my boss calls me any time of the day, but I know I'm basically on retainer. When you take a job at a startup company, it's expected you're going to be available at unorthodox times. And I'm willing to make that sacrifice. Another guy says, yeah, I work weird hours, but that's the way we need to conduct business. I have to deal with calls coming from Israel. Sometimes you just know it could be a 24-hour job. You're on call when something happens.
If there's breaking news, I don't work the weekends. right? But yeah. Remember when Kobe Bryant, when he died,
yes.
Out, right? He came right in.
People always came in on the weekends or, you know, late at night if some terrible news story happened. You just know that's part of the deal. I mean, a San Francisco Democrat with legislation to regulate things we can work out ourselves. I do not understand. I constantly read about these stories about employees and they were treated badly and abused by this and abused by that, not paid right. They don't like their pay. It's like the people who work at fast food. I mean, I don't get paid enough. So go get another job. How about acquiring a skill? Go to a community college for 2 years. You can get a skill. Go to a trade school. Do something. Nation of babies.
But there are some really nasty bosses out
there. There are. Just punch them out.
Well,
you know, I got.
I've never done that.
I got snapped at it by, I mean, in small market radio, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of a-hole guys. I always yelled back at them. I remember one time I wanted to take a long weekend because I was going to be best man at my friend's wedding. And the guy said no. And I said, well, I'm going. My friend wants me to be the best man at his wedding. I'm going. Came back. No problem on Monday.
Well, you were lucky.
You know what? It was getting $140 a week. What was I going to lose there?
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
This was to be a real lecture at UCLA's medical school. When I read this to you, you're not going to understand it, and I don't understand it. It was going to feature a professor named Dr. Helena Hansen, and the title, Beyond Magic Bullets, Whiteness as a Structural Driver of the Opioid Crisis. Now, I don't know specifically what that means. I'm just going to take it verbatim that having white skin is what drove the opioid crisis. She's a trained psychiatrist and anthropologist. And she has a book called White Out, How Racial Capitalism Changed the Color of Opioids in America. The hell? Well, it's been abruptly, they abruptly changed the topic of the lecture. And we're going to talk to Caroline Downey from the National Review, because this is supposed to be a medical school. You got to teach people how to deal with diseases here. But it's more of this woke garbage. Laguna Beach, you're going to play a story here from Fox 11, Mario Ramirez. We just had this story. Where was it? Was it Beverly Hills?
And Calabasas.
And Calabasas, too? It's guys coming up with AI-generated sexual photos of the girls in class. Let's see what twist it takes in this story.
High school parents we spoke with say this is likely happening a lot more at a lot more schools than we're aware of. Those AI-generated photos being circulated around this campus, and now the school district is investigating where and who they came from.
Inappropriate silliness that goes on with high school stuff. It's worse today because there's more tools available to the people that want to get up to no good.
People can think that it's real, and I feel like that's the scariest thing, especially like now that we're all getting into colleges and stuff. The effects it can have on your reputation is just, it's a scary thing, especially like with college being like the biggest part of your life right now.
This morning we've learned Laguna Beach High School is planning to host panel discussions this week about online privacy, ethics, and the impact of online behavior. It comes after parents were notified in a letter last week about the investigation into AI-generated nude photos of several students here. The photos may have been shared among students through text messages. And the Laguna Beach Unified School District did release a statement to Fox 11 about the photos and the investigation, reading in part, "We are required by law to keep student discipline matters confidential to protect the privacy and well-being of our students. In any situation that arises, the safety and security of our students is always our top priority." Meanwhile, there was a similar incident in Beverly Hills last month, the Beverly Hills Unified School District expelling 5 students at Beverly Vista Middle School for their involvement in AI-generated nude photos circulating on that campus. The district says 16 eighth graders were victimized with those photos. Back here at Laguna Beach High School, officials haven't said who or how many students are responsible for these photos, but they do say the Laguna Beach Police Department is assisting in the investigation.
You know what would end this? have the school officials turn the kids over who are sending out the porn. This is pornography, and have them charged with child porn distribution. That'll end it.
But it's so scary what these people are doing with AI. I mean, can you imagine? There's a picture of you floating around that's nude, and it's not really you, and people believe it's you.
How do you know they're not?
Just wait, we're gonna see an AI picture of John in his wet boxers.
Oh yeah, that would be hysterical.
No, I. The only way to stop this is to have the penalty be so harsh that kids are going to say, no way. You know, you end up on Megan's list. You end up with a sexual offense permanently on your record. That has to happen to one kid and make a big headline out of it. And then the second kid doesn't do it. Because otherwise, this is around for, we're all going to, the whole generation now of teenagers is going to get used to this. This will come out constantly. Every girl will have sexual photos of her AI image generated and be distributed all around the world.
Now you notice that we're not seeing AI generated guy nudies.
Yeah. there doesn't seem to be that big a market. Mm-mm. It's just like the old girly magazines.
Right.
It was all about naked women. I think there was one naked guy magazine.
Well, you know what, John? I think that when we find out who's doing this, we need to, the girls need to get back at the guys, and they need to create some AI-generated nude pictures of the guys.
Something humiliating, though.
Oh, I think, you know, an eye for an eye, or, you know.
A lot of guys would get into this. I know. It's like, hey, look what I mean, guys are the ones who send pictures of their...
I know.
Women don't do that.
I think some do.
Some do, yeah, that's true. I think that's where the culture is going.
It's crazy.
I think everybody's going to be trading pictures of their naked parts and be comfortable with it. When we come back, we're going to talk with, from the National Review, Caroline Downey. I forgot her name. Caroline Downey is coming on. She's a writer, and it's about this this whiteness being the driver of the opioid crisis. That was more or less the title of a lecture that the UCLA Medical School was going to present. And it's been changed, and we'll find out why that happened. We've got Deborah Mark live in the KFI 24-hour newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. The weather is getting warmer, and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great-looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection, and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection, and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.